And we got another good one today. Joining us today is Ryan Higgins from Cedar Lake Camp. We'll be talking about Ryan's life that includes the camp's mission and, most importantly, its impact on youth and families. So stick around for more inspiring conversation with Ryan Higgins. Ryan, let's get going, buddy. I told you off air, I have a serious illness, a malady. I like to talk, and I don't listen very well, so I'm going to do my best to hear your story. And I told you, let's just start with age, birth, and you, and who are you, where did you come from, where are you going, formative years, anything you want to tell us?
Absolutely. Well, as I've told many people before, I was born at a really young age, and I was actually born in a tiny little town in southwest Arkansas. As a matter of fact, sure. It is so small that you cannot get there from here. You have to actually start there and work your way out as one of those towns.
I understand.
But it is a lot of rural area, mm-hmm. and I love it. I grew up hunting, fishing, camping.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I love the outdoors. So currently I live in Livingston, and it's a lot like that.
I was going to say, welcome to Tennessee and welcome to the Upper Cumberland.
Yes, sir. That's absolutely.
So you, you're born in Arkansas, got here as quick as you could, but growing up, tell us a little bit about your childhood and just whatever, how'd you get started?
Well, absolutely, yeah. Well, you know, small town comes with a lot of perks. There's a lot of land to roam.
No question.
And we live right on the, right in the edge of the woods, and, you know, my childhood was full of scraped knees and getting dirty and shooting BB guns and all sorts of camping trips with my parents, and man, it was just so much fun. I've got one sister, she's 2.5 years younger than me, mm-hmm. and boy, I was so mean to her. I regret that. I hate that I did that.
I bet you apologize still every time you see her.
You know, I give her a hug when I see her. She's only 4'10", but she is a firecracker.
Look
out. Let me tell you.
Well, you taught her to be that way.
Yeah, and she's a elementary school teacher right mm-hmm. now, and so she's only about as tall as the students are. But boy, let me tell you, she can keep them in line. So
dynamite comes in small packages.
That's right. That's right. Mighty Mouse said that same thing. So.
Oh, so good. Okay, so you're growing up, you started out, you're going to school, and talk about a little your friends growing up, your passions. How did you get hooked on what you're doing today?
That is kind of a long story.
That's good.
Well, you know, my parents they taught me a lot of hard work. They mm-hmm. loved to pass that on, and my dad was a farmer. So
yeah.
I grew up on a farm.
Yeah, sure.
And commercial chicken farm. And we had cows. He did hay also. And so there was always something to do. And yeah. So as a kid, I've got so many memories. I think we bought the chicken farm when I was about 6 or 7 years old. And I've got so many memories of these 18-wheeler trucks pulling up with stacks, crates of 50 chicks at mm-hmm. a time. And they're packed tighter than sardines, taller than I was. And so I'd take these crates and go dump them under the heaters. And, man, we were getting 100,000 chickens at a time. And
holy
so,
cow.
Yeah. And then,
mass production.
Mass production. So it was my job to pick up the dead chickens in the morning and then feed them and take care of the heaters and all sorts of stuff. And then when I got a little bit older, I was hauling hay and we'd take care of the cows and – when I wasn't doing that, I was cutting grass. Whether I was a lawnmower or I'm a weed eater, yeah. running a chainsaw. So I'm a country boy through and through, and I'm not ashamed of that.
It's great.
But I did go on to school, and I can be a little polished whenever I need to.
You can clean up when you have to.
When I have to, yeah. When I'm relaxed, the country accent comes out. Oh, but yeah, when I'm doing some public speaking at a podium, you know, and in front of a group, you know, we kind of tighten it up a little bit.
I understand. That's good.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a wonderful childhood, and my family was huge. Now, I only had one sister in my immediate family, but my dad was second born out of six, mm-hmm. and then my mother was 10th born out of 12.
So you had plenty of family.
And they all lived, most of them lived nearby. And so I've got man, I've got cousins, first cousins I've never even met because I came along a little later, but extensive extended family.
Oh, right? Sure. So, yeah. Sure. You know, well, you look, once you get being an old bird like me, you look back more. And being in a position where I moved around like a Baptist minister, mm-hmm. whatever, great, mostly in Tennessee, but I miss that aspect. I miss that generational, you know, community. And here's the Waltons type thing, mm-hmm. where your family's there and extended family. So you were rich. You were wealthy that way. You had had family everywhere. They identity, who you are.
Absolutely. I was so blessed. My grandma lived maybe 300 yards on a non-windy day. You could shout and
you could get there.
You could get there. Yeah, she had a dinner triangle out on the porch, and whenever it was lunchtime, I tell you, every Sunday, right around noon, there was a big spread. A lot of our family would come in. She'd come out on the on the porch, the dinner triangle, and the little stick, and ding-a-ling-a-ling.
Didn't have to ring it too many times.
No. We had a wonderful time. There's so many.
We've lost that as a country, obviously, with technology and stuff. But I that's why we love, for a lot of reasons, the Upper Cumberland. This mm-hmm. is a semblance, throwback to those type days that we've had.
Absolutely.
So how'd you get, so you're born, you got family everywhere, and you left. How did you get here? What your journey? Let's pick up on your journey.
Moving truck. That's how I got here.
Did you really?
Yes, okay. Sir. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I went to high school. So the name of my little town is called DeQueen. And like I say, you never would have heard of it, except that our claim to fame is Colin Ray.
So Colin Ray. Oh, my goodness.
Country music guy back in the 90s.
Yeah.
And my dad was country through and through, so I grew up with George Strait, George Jones, and all. I remember as a young person when Garth Brooks burst onto the scene, and he just kind of took the country music industry by storm, you know. And so Colin Ray is from our little town. Now, as a young person, I didn't fully appreciate all that he did, all the number one hits. But once I, kind of got in high school, got in college, I started listening to him some.
Oh, yeah.
Man, he is a really good singer. And I'm not just saying that because he's a hometown boy. And I'll tell you a fun little story. So just a couple of years ago, Colin came up to Livingston to do one of the concerts there in the park and the amphitheater. And I knew the police chief at the time. And I said, hey, this gentleman is from my little hometown back in Arkansas. And he wasn't doing any autographs or anything afterwards. But as the concert was winding down, he was providing security, which mm-hmm. wasn't super necessary.
Not
a crazy crowd. But he gave me a wink and a nod. He said, here, come on over here. And so Colin Ray came off the stage. And
two guys from DeQueen. Yeah,
that's right. He said, hey, this Mr. Ray, this gentleman right here is from your little hometown. He turned around and he said, are you from
DeQueen?
Nobody's
from my hometown. Yeah, how about that?
He shook my hand. We took a picture. We had a good little laugh and talked about some places from back there. But yeah, DeQueen. I went to college in Conway, Arkansas.
Conway, sure.
University of Central Arkansas. Yep. Now, Scottie Pippen is our claim to fame.
Man,
there.
You just got him everywhere.
I know it, right? So, yeah, I spent a couple years in Conway, and that was a booming little town. I delivered flowers. Mm-hmm. That was my job to get me through college. But after that, I ended up going to seminary.
Okay.
In Fort Worth, Texas, Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary.
Yeah,
yep. And then you fast forward a couple of years, and we're here in Tennessee. But, the story starts a long time before that. So I can't talk about myself really without talking about my faith. Because
let's do it.
That is so integral to who I am. So I was not raised in church. Now, my parents were hardworking.
Sure.
They loved me and my sister, but they were not followers of Jesus.
I understand.
And now I went a little bit as a child, milk and cookies, Six Flags trips, hay rides, the whole nine
girls.
Girls,
bad.
Yeah, well, there's some cute girls
not
there for
bad.
Sure.
Yeah,
but Boy, I hope my wife isn't listening.
Well, that's yesterday. That's a long time ago.
Long time ago. Man, it was at least 30 years ago.
That's right. Sure.
So,
yeah.
We went to, Sunday school, and I went to church. I paid attention a little bit, and I got familiar with Bible language.
Yeah.
But also, at the same time, when I was 11 years old, is when I started drinking alcohol.
I understand.
So,
my
parents... My dad had a problem. My grandpa was an alcoholic, his father. Yeah. So I was not being set up generationally for success.
That's right.
And when I was 11 years old, it's when I started stealing beer out of from my grandpa's stash. When I was 14, we'd drive to the Oklahoma line, and as long as there was a cop in the parking lot, they would sell it to us. And we'd hit the dirt roads.
Knew how to do it.
And we would be gone. And then something pretty major happened at 16, is when I was arrested for DUI. Boy, I'm sure I am so embarrassed to say that, but looking back now, I can see the change, and it's just an unfortunate part of my story. But whenever you've been so far in the darkness,
no question,
the light seems so much brighter.
Yeah.
So going from that to faith is what I can talk about next.
Yeah, we're going to do that. Man, this is a great segue. Fits right into I like to think our show is all about. People, real people, meet you where you are. And Ryan Higgins, and I can't wait till we get back next time, pretty soon. Be back in just a second. Well, George Hofford here with Ryan Higgins, good new friend. We're climbing Fool's Hill
together.
Yeah,
that's right.
Are we?
The blind leading the blind.
I climbed it a long time. In age, I climbed it a long time before you did, but that hill is still there, and I know exactly what you're talking about. Let's go back to that where we left off in the last segment and talk about your experiences.
Sure. Well, after I had a couple of run-ins with the law, I hate to admit this, but it didn't change anything in me. If anything, it just made me a little more defiant. And, man, I was so rebellious against my parents.
Age-appropriate.
Yeah, when I got to be about 18, 19, I felt like I was going to crawl out of my own skin, just trying to get out of the house, wanting to be my own man and all that stuff. But didn't have the education, didn't have the income. And, praise God, he just kept me where I was because that's where I needed
to be. That's where you need to be.
Moment. But... I just started living a really, really wild and rebellious life.
Yep.
I got into all sorts of trouble. Didn't get caught for half the stuff that I should have. But so much revolved around alcohol. Now, I had a lot of other problems that we don't need to discuss here on the air. But you
but
can use your imagination.
Alcohol was a core
it was,
of that, our society.
That was the foundation of a lot of my problems. And it wasn't the alcohol's fault. It was my fault.
No question. Yeah, sure.
And here's the scary part is that I was never actually addicted to it. I chose it. And that's what's even scarier to me is that my heart was so inclined to do what I was not supposed to do. It's scary to look back now and think.
Yeah.
I remember a time me and my buddy, we went wading in the river. And we caught us a mess of fish, because back in Arkansas, we call it a mess of fish.
I know.
We got the stringer attached to our belt loop. We're walking through the water. We had a good day, too. We brought us some little flour and some potatoes. And right on the riverbank, we fried us up some fish and taters.
Boy, sounds good.
And we cracked open a couple of cold ones. And the weather was perfect. And, I thought, life just doesn't get any better than this. And how I could not have understood at the time how woefully inadequate that statement was.
No, but it was age appropriate.
It was age appropriate. And I didn't even know how much I was missing, especially without the Lord in my life. So that same buddy, he and I used to cry and moan and groan about girls and not having enough money and blah, blah, blah. And... eventually I felt this urge to go back to church, which was strange because I hadn't been there since I was like 14. And nobody was in my life really saying, now, Ryan, you need to straighten up.
You
need to go back to church, and none of that. It's just this just inward feeling. I know now it was the Holy Spirit calling me. And I went one time by myself, and nothing happened. I was like, what was that all about? About a month later, I still could not shake this feeling of I need to be in church.
There you go.
And so I went to church, sat on the back row by myself. The pastor was gone, but his buddy George, who worked at a factory in town, was a newly called minister, never been to seminary. He was not polished, not eloquent, but he laid out the simple gospel of Jesus Christ, and I heard him say that our sin separates us from God, and we need to have his forgiveness in order to receive eternal life and salvation. And my stomach was just in knots because I was thinking, haven't I prayed some? I've prayed something like before.
Sure.
And I was just all tore up. I didn't know what to do. I lived about 2 miles from that little church, and I got in my truck. And when I turned onto my road, now I had been thinking beforehand. By this time, I was in college. I'd taken a couple of college classes that just got me thinking about my own spiritual situation.
Yeah.
I remember in one of these art classes that I took, there was this relief of a cathedral somewhere, I think it's in France, and it showed a depiction of the judgment, Matthew 24 and 25, where Jesus is talking about the harvesters come and they separate the sheep from the goats, and one side goes to hell, one side goes to heaven. And I was kind of thinking, where am I in that situation?
Yeah.
So as I turned on to the road that took me home, I'm just over a mile from home now, and I realized that if I was to die in a car crash between here and there, I was not going to heaven, that I was going to hell. And so I drove very carefully back to my house. I went to my room, and I closed the door. And as best as I could, I simply said, Jesus, I need you to forgive me and save me, and I'm sorry. Come into my life. And I tell you, from that moment on, it's like the blinders came off and everything changed. The things that I was doing, caught up in, whether it was, throwing the parties and encouraging other people to get drunk myself, now I had conviction about it. There was something in my...
You had a little conscience.
Something in my spirit saying, I've got a better way. I've got something better for you. And so it was quite the weaning process. Hey, I'm still being weaned. You talk about climbing the foolish hill.
We forget, though, that stories we were talking about off air, it's a story of a lot of us growing. And I'm not minimizing this, but it's about growing up and climbing foolish hill and learning who you are and what's important to you. And usually there's somebody along the way. It's that pastor, the guy you were talking about.
That's right.
So there's and the importance of the spoken word in one person.
Mm-hmm.
So let's move on that. I'm ready. So how did you? So you took that and ran with it.
I did. And whenever I asked Jesus to save me, there was no skies didn't part and hallelujah.
I didn't hear that.
But what happened was that God began to mold me and shape me and draw me to Himself, and He slowly started to wean me off the things that he didn't approve of, and he started to get me onto the things he did approve of. I got active in church and it was changed. My buddy,
but it didn't happen overnight.
That's the thing.
It didn't. There wasn't any big thunderbolt or lightning struck.
All my partying and drinking buddies, they were saying, "What happened to you?" Like, they didn't understand. And so I tried explaining as best as I could. But eventually I got to the point where I just couldn't see myself doing anything that would make me happy except serving Jesus. And so everything just started falling into place.
So you go from there to college, to seminary in Fort Worth. Right.
That's right. Went to Fort Worth.
And you finished there, I guess, and then here you go. So how did you get – I might have asked you this a while ago. So now you're in Livingston, Tennessee. So we're going to talk more. We got about a minute to go in this side, but we're going to talk now. Now we've got you cleaned up and ready to go. And that's when you really took off what you were supposed to be doing. So we got a few seconds. We got a minute left. So you went on with that, and God led you to Tennessee and to Livingston. How long have you been in Livingston?
Almost 17 years.
Okay, you may be a native now.
Yeah, just about.
I'm 20 here. I'm working. I'm pretty close.
Is that right?
Yeah. Love Livingston, the region, what people have done. So let's tease some people. Let's talk just a moment. We just got a few seconds left. I'm going to close down. We're going to come back and talk about your program and what you're doing. George Hofford, Ryan Higgins, and I've been where Ryan's been. I understand. We'll be back soon. George Hofford back, Local Matters with Ryan Higgins. Ryan, let's just pick up where we left off, and you done good, buddy. You're doing good. Let's talk about where you're coming here, your family, your ministry, your camp, and what you're doing, and what you're learning, and how God is still working with you.
Absolutely. Well, when I was in college, I got an opportunity to go down to the Ocoee River,
and
we did float the Ocoee. There's a Christian camp down there called Camp Agape in a tiny little town called Benton, Tennessee.
I know where Benton is.
And I was able to spend a couple summers there, but my first summer there was my first real ministry experience. And I was a new Christian, and it was kind of sink or swim. And I was supposed to be leading these groups that came in.
Oh, sure.
And lead them in recreation. We'd lead them in different construction projects. Didn't really know what I was doing.
Fake it till you make it.
Yes, right. That's right. But during the week that we were getting trained, there was this tall, blonde girl that showed up from Alabama, and her name is Lucy.
Okay.
And I went up to her, and my first time ever meeting her, we had just got back from a training session in Nashville, and the maintenance man at that camp was getting on to us for leaving the tools out in the weather. And we rightly deserved that, but she didn't. And I came up to her and I said, "Hey, it's not always this bad here, you know?" And so that started a friendship. I just wanted her to feel welcome and included.
I understand.
And I got a little more than I bargained for that summer. So came out of that summer with in a relationship, and we dated long distance for 2 years.
Yeah.
And then we finally tied the knot in December 04.
Yeah.
And then she moved. She left Alabama and came up, stayed with me in Arkansas for a little bit. And then when together, we went to Fort Worth, started seminary.
Okay.
And I like to say that she's practically perfect in every way. The only thing, she just won't stop saying "Roll Tide." And I don't know.
You know, that's a problem.
That is. That's a real problem. No, yeah. So when Arkansas and Alabama were playing each other.
That's pretty serious stuff.
It was one day a year now. But since old Nick Saban took over, you know.
He ruined a lot of dreams.
It was Alabama all the way.
That's right.
And now, you know, SEC's all messed up. But anyways. Other than that one thing, man, I love her. I love her so much.
So you're married and you got children?
We do. We got 5 kids.
Wow.
So we, as soon as we got here to Cedar Lake Camp in Livingston, Tennessee, there was one of our board members. I told him, I said, "Now I would really appreciate if you would pray for us to start having kids."
Boy.
And man, oh man.
You took it seriously.
Well, he.
Be fruitful and multiply. Buddy.
And
that's
he likes to remind me that he was the one that prayed for all these kids. So.
So you came here with no children and 5 children.
In just God about 5 years, we had 5 kids.
God has blessed
us. We hit a warp zone. I'll tell you another thing, though. So we had Carson. He's our oldest. And then 2 years later, we had a set of triplets that were born.
Oh, my goodness.
And then 3 years later, our baby came along.
Y'all been pretty busy, buddy. Just keeping your head above
water. Man, oh, man, let me tell you. Whenever we found out we were having triplets, we went back to Dr. Casale. He's a local doctor, and our oldest was born with him. And then 2 years later, we went back in. We knew we were expecting a baby, to find out the gender of our one baby. And whenever the sonographer looked on the screen, she asked my wife, she said, "Have you been taking fertility drugs?" She said, "No." "Why?" "Because I see one, two, I think that's the third baby." She put the machine down. She ran down the hallway and said, "I got to go get the doctor." He came back within 30 seconds. He said, "Yep, you're having triplets."
That's wonderful. Praise God.
And so, but then he started telling us all the things that could have gone wrong.
Yeah.
Man, with multiple, so many potential problems. Long story short, we didn't experience any of those. No gestational diabetes, no bed rest, none of that stuff. The babies were all born over 5 pounds, breathing on their own.
No, moving on.
We spent 3 days like a normal cesarean birth at Chattanooga. We came back, and it's been crazy ever since.
Man, now let's do Cedar Camp.
Cedar Lake Camp.
Yeah. Let's spend a few minutes talking. Now you're here. You got 5 kids over time.
We do.
We got you through the dark period, and you learned to deal with Alabama, and here we go. So let's talk about the camp, what you're doing, and what the future holds.
Absolutely. Well, it's been a ride. I'll say that. Somebody asked me some years ago, "What have you learned in ministry?" I said, "Well, ministry's hard, but God is good."
Amen.
And so we've spent a lot of time cleaning up facilities and improving. Is it Lowe's or Home Depot? One of them says, "Never stop improving."
Yeah.
And so we've just been on that trend for, 16, 17 years now. We've seen a lot of kids. I did some quick math not too long ago, and it's been about 10,000 kids come through.
Where do they come from? How do you reach them? What is the pipeline?
Most of them are Upper Cumberland kids. Now,
okay.
We do get some Knoxville, Nashville, Chattanooga, and then a few stragglers from out of state. But a lot of them are local, Putnam County, Overton County, Cumberland County.
They come in groups, individuals?
A lot of them, their parents bring them. And
good.
So, but also some churches bring them as a group. But we do overnight camp. So what you'd think of as traditional summer camp, we do canoeing, hiking, caving, swimming, archery.
How long are these sessions?
A week at a time. Now, if they're staying overnight, they come on Sunday afternoons. They leave on Saturday mornings. For the younger kids, day camp, they're 5 to 10 year old. They come Monday through Friday, and then outside of that, outside of the summer, we're hosting a lot of retreat groups on the weekends.
Well, sure.
Usually, so youth groups, college groups. We've had several men's groups come through. Different ladies group, you name it, we host them all. But our goal there is to use fun as a tool.
Yeah.
And so all those fun things that we do is in order to build a relationship with those young people so that we can share the gospel with them. We want to see them come to embrace all that Jesus Christ is and does for them. He died on the cross and he rose from the dead, and that is news worth telling. And we want to see them connected with the God who loves them and cares for them. Like I tell the kids, he's not only the God of eternal life, but also the God of everyday life.
Yes.
And so he wants to be active in their lives, and we're just...
And he's fun.
We don't cram
it. It's fun.
It is fun, yeah. It's an adventure. So we hire summer staff. A lot of them also come from our camper numbers, but... A lot of them were campers. They become CITs, which means counselors in training. Then they're junior counselors, and then sometimes I just can't get rid of them. They just keep sticking around.
So is it non-denominational?
It is non-denominational.
And let's do a little quick commercial. I'm interested. I'm a parent. How do I get in touch with y'all?
CedarLakeCamp.org is our website. You can find all the registration links there. You can find retreat.
Say it one more time.
Sure, cedarlakecamp.org, and you can register for retreats there. It's got all of our contact
information. You said you've had over 10,000. You've had thousands of people have benefited, attended, worshiped your facility.
Yes, that's right.
So in the remaining time, let's look in the crystal ball. Where you're in a different era of life, different, you know, same mission. Where you go, where crystal ball, where you going, where's the camp going, where are we going, what is the old thing about if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans, but
right,
what are your plans?
Yes, yes.
At this point.
He has heard me plead many times that we would be able to finish the gymnasium that we're currently under construction. We're just over $500,000 into it, so that means it's the shell's up, it's dried in. Matter of fact, they're working on the rough end plumbing and electrical this week and next. But we got some big ticket items coming up, HVAC, sprinkler systems and stuff. So needing still almost $1 million. So, and you know, I didn't go to school for that. Professional fundraiser, all that stuff.
No.
So trying to figure out how to come up with the original number is $2.4 million. That's over my head.
That's a big.
But the Bible tells us that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills.
Yeah, you got the faith of a grain of mustard.
And I just need one of those hills.
That's right.
You know?
Just one.
I would love – that's been a big thing of ours facility-wise is to finish that gymnasium. We've been talking about it for years, broke ground 3 years ago. Got a couple more years left. Big fundraiser coming up next Thursday. So there's, you know, that occupies so many months of preparation. There's an auction involved with it. But staff-wise, you know, we want to keep bringing in young people who love Jesus, who love kids, and see those two things come together. But as far as full-time goes, there's just three of us there right now.
Yeah, sure.
And so would love to see a fourth and even a fifth person come along. I'm desperate for a maintenance man. And what we really need is a development director, somebody who really does know how to achieve fundraising goals so that we can update facilities, keep staff going, and keep camp going.
Boy, it's God's time, not ours. But with this movement that we were talking about, the young people are leading this revival in this country.
Yes.
It's happening.
Yes, I really believe.
We can feel it. We can see it. Uh-huh. And I'm not talking everything's
right.
Political, but I'm talking about just what we're seeing. And thank God for the Upper Cumberland. Mm-hmm. There are other areas that I've never experienced in my lifetime. The community of faith, people who make a difference like yourselves, and it's special. It really is. And you're playing a major role in that. And I went back in time in my own mind. I traveled some of those same roads that you traveled years before you did. But we're winding up. George Hofford, Ryan Higgins, talking about things that really matter. And God bless you and keep up the good work, Ryan.
Thank you. It's been an honor.
George Hofford, Local Matters. See you next time.